Good morning. Welcome. And I would encourage you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 106, down around verse 35. This message that I've entitled Water in the Boat, it's the concluding message in my series, Learning from the Classics, favorite Old Testament passages of mine. And hopefully by now, after all this time, looking at these messages, that maybe some of them are your now Old Testament favorites. Someone said, it is okay for the boat to be in the water, but not vice versa. There is a kingdom of light, and there is a kingdom of darkness. Satan works to destroy Christians from without, from within. It doesn't matter to him, as long as there's destruction going on. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. And then if you look at Jude verses 3 and 4, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There is water in the boat. Don't miss it. There is water in the boat. Psalm 106 and verse 40. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance. And why is that? Because of what they did. And what they did is outlined in the previous verses, verses 35 down to verse 38. First of all, God's people befriended the world and approved its practices. Verse 35, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. Go back to 2 Corinthians for a moment, in chapter 6. Paul gave some strong instructions there, some strong exhortation there in verse 14 down to verse 18. It says in Psalm 106:35, they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They befriended the world and they approved its practices. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Or what and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then over in James chapter 4 and verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Christians are to be distinctly different from the world, not relevant by way of imitation. Separate from the world, not a reflection of it. Every choice is in the context of what is pleasing to the Lord. We have no witness in this world if we look just like it. You remember the Susan B. Anthony dollar? Well, you know, after a short time it was rejected. And do you know why it was rejected? Was it metal content, or was it that odd shape, that multi-faceted shape? Or maybe it was the face of a woman, and people weren't ready for that or used to that. Why was it rejected? You know why it was rejected, that Susan B. Anthony dollar, that coin? It was because its size and weight, it looked like and felt like a quarter, not a dollar. Christians are of little use to God if they look, talk, and act much like the world. Second, God's people worshipped the world's idols and fell into its traps. Verse 36, they served their idols, which became a snare to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, and then chapter 6, verse 12. Chapter 1 Corinthians 10, 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. And then in chapter 6 and verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I remember back when I was in boarding school. I did rowing. I was part of the rowing team for 2 years. 1 year, I don't remember what years of high school it was, but 1 year, I was in an 8-man scull. And then on the second year, I wasn't in one. I wasn't part of a crew. I was one of the managers of the team, which means I pretty much rode up and down the river as they practiced in a speedboat. And there was another person with another speedboat. Well, of course, when we had some time to ourselves before we had to put everything away, we'd go out and have some fun on the water with the speedboats. And on one occasion, I remember the other person took off real fast down the river, and I followed behind him, but I ended up in the other boat's wake. And as the way that the wake was going out, it caused my boat to go up on its side, where it was to the place where the water was almost going to come over the edge of the boat. If it had come over the edge of the boat, well, I would have sunk the boat. However, as I quickly thought, I tried to steer it to try and get control of it, and that only made things worse. What I did was I pulled back on the throttle, and that slowed me down and eventually took me out of the wake of the other boat. I would have been overwhelmed by it. Just like when we follow the world's ways. Christians are called to be controlled by the Holy Spirit rather than influenced by the world. If we chase after the world, we get caught up in its wake, and it can overwhelm us. We need to slow down, stop following the world, and let the Holy Spirit control us. Christians are called to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And third, God's people sacrificed their children and heritage to the world. Verses 37 and 38, they even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with the blood. What are we called to do? To protect our children. What are we called to do? Well, James chapter 1 verse 27 tells us, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable perfect will of God. Christians are to shelter. I know many people don't like to hear these words. Christians are to shelter their children and train them in godly living until they're ready for spiritual warfare. Well, let me ask you, have you trained your children? Are you an example to them? Don't throw them to the lions of this world. Teach them to be lion tamers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to verse 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Why did God abhor his own inheritance? It's very simply explained in verse 39. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. God requires holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So what is God telling us in this passage? Psalm 106, verses 35 to 40. What is He telling us? Well, He's telling us three things. First of all, He's telling us to be separate from the world and its ways, which are controlled by Satan. Second, He's telling us to be alert to traps in the things of the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then third, be sure to protect your children from Satan. Let me ask you, do you have activities which you know are not pleasing to the Lord? Then listen, if you have activities in your life that you take part in that you know are not pleasing to the Lord, then expect your children to do the same. Whatever it is. Because the truth is, what you do in secret, your children will do openly. What you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. They'll do it in action, in attitude. Listen, they will be just like you, only more openly and even in more excess. John chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In verse 34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. To pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you call us to be separate from this world. You call us not to be stained by this world. You call us not to be entrapped by this world. You call us not to allow our children to be overcome by this world. But you call us to stand apart from it and to stand against it with the full armor of the Lord. Father, may we truly be separate. May we truly be alert to the traps of this world. May we truly protect our children by your power. May we be different, that we might make an impact in this world and not just be accepted as part of it and overlooked and neglected. May we be truly a witness for your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.